Hey, Sean Hannity here, encouraging you all to stay up to the minute on all the information on the coronavirus pandemic. Listen to my show. Go to my website, Hannity.com, staying in touch with your local health professionals, and most of all, listening to this great radio station. By staying informed, we will stop the spread of coronavirus. We need to talk. Weekdays at 3 on Seaville, 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
I'm meteorologist David Reese for Seaville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning, 7:37. We were talking about some of the aspects, the eddies and currents that roll into setting the scene. And I worry desperately that one of the things that is in the center square of all of the rhetoric I'm hearing is the attack on property ownership. And, you know, truly one of the things that gives you the freedom, the liberty, and it's become more and more of a fantasy as people fall down the wayside. And joining us to talk about, you know, affordable housing, housing in general, workforce housing, and how, you know, the same people who say we're for affordable housing can be against affordable housing. He chronicles it all the time at freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. He is Neil Williamson. Good morning, Neil. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great, Joe. Good morning.
NIMBY is an acronym that I don't think gets used nearly enough. And when I've used it, I actually get people saying, that's not what's really happening, Joe. They're just looking out for the needs of... And then you listen to the testimonies of those who rise up in the county board of supervisors against affordable housing. I think your post from last week at one county hearing on affordable housing said, of course, affordable housing is a great idea. This just isn't the right place for it. And I said, that sums it up. That's the T-shirt right there.
Yeah, that was a direct quote from a Albemarle resident who was speaking at the Parkway Place public hearing. She was suggesting that in no uncertain terms, affordable housing is nice, but not here, which translates to not in my backyard, which is the basis of the NIMBY acronym. I also think there are other acronyms that fit at times, which is bananas, build absolutely nothing anywhere near anyone. or my all-time favorite is CAVE, Citizens Against Virtually Everything.
That's right. It's the protest culture there. But at the end of the day, I think there's almost a fugue where we don't realize how populous we are. And maybe that's the problem, is there are people who don't want to admit how many other people there are in our community.
Well, and not only the people in the community, it's people that want to be in the community. You're talking about your teachers, your firefighters, your police officers. Where do they live? And when you look at the testimony that we see come out of, and this is not just a Charlottesville Albemarle thing, the public hearing process as currently designed is slanted in favor of of doing nothing, because the impetus is on the developer to make the change and then to move forward. I think there were 22 or 32 speakers on last Wednesday night in Albemarle. And it is difficult for an elected official to sit and have, you know, 60 letters and 32 people stand up, and then the people that don't get represented are the people that would be moving into those homes, because they don't know that they would be moving into those homes, because those homes don't yet exist.
That's absolutely true. There is no voice for those who would live there. I know I spoke out. There was a movement to eliminate rental properties in Fry Spring, and being somebody who rents a place in Fry Spring, I thought it was imperative that I speak up in defense of the renters, but that was a retroactive, not a proactive. I knew it was coming and I was already there, but I how do we fix that? Because I think that there are several things in the system that kind of get in the way of this development, but how does somebody fix that aspect of it when it comes down to the representative decision making?
Well, what really, it's very difficult to fix, and it's not new. I mean, back in 1979, an MIT professor wrote a book that called out San Francisco land use policies and was talking about, you know, the fact that developers usually do not persist with their original plans and raise prices to cover the cost of the delays. Instead, they compromise, cutting the number of moderately cost homes and substituting a smaller number of houses that only high-income families can afford. And the compromise struck is almost always at the expense of someone who was not there, that eventual housing consumer.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1979, Joe.
We've gotten better at it. I think we've gotten better at hiding it in plain sight, Neil. You know, I don't know if we heal from this. I know that we want to keep our bucolic views of the Blue Ridge and the New River Valley and all, and we want to protect that. But I think we're also creating scenarios, and I want to get into this when we come back, the cost of entry. I mean, just building a home costs, you know, more than a lot of folks grew up having to pay for a home just to get a shovel into the ground nowadays. And I think that gets in the way of it as well. So you wind up with the only choice being density and then people voting against the density. Neil Williamson is on with us. FreeEnterpriseForum.wordpress.com. Affordable housing. It's another one of these just like criminal justice reform. Pie-cuss promise, easily made, easily broken.
Tuned in to you as much as you are tuned in to us.
It's about everything about you.
Fox News updates every half hour on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
WCHV and WRAD, thank you for letting us be of service to you. You know, it's funny, you know, over the last couple of months, there have been grant monies just flying all over the place, going to places during the COVID-19 shutdowns to affordable housing organizations. But you know, one of the things, and we're visiting with Neil Williamson from the Free Enterprise Forum, and I maybe it's unfair to do this, but let's just say somebody makes $50,000 a year. Generally, that's right around poverty level in Charlottesville, for example. So that's about $960 gross a week. Do you take taxes off of it? Say it's $800 a week. So if you had to pay all of that for rent, that's considered egregious. It's 25% of your pay. I think a lot of people wind up paying more than 50% of their take-home pay for housing costs in this area. But what would it cost to build an $800 apartment? I guess that's how I view this is, okay, we need more $800 a month apartments. What does it cost to build them? And nobody seems to want to do that.
Well, and to be fair, the numbers that are used generally in the affordable housing discussion is 30. If you're spending greater than 30% of your income, take home income, on housing, you are housing burdened, is the term. The cost associated with it and how and what is built is part of the issue. When we talk about building apartments with one and two bedrooms, they have, generally speaking, historically, that size unit does not have as large an impact on schools, which is 60% of most localities' budgets, than as does a single-family home. Now, that unit also does not contribute as much individually to the tax base as a single-family home. But that being said, I think it's important to recognize there's a missing middle here of duplexes, triplexes, two- and three-bedroom apartments, one-bedroom apartments. These are things that are needed in the New River Valley and needed in Charlottesville, in the region. It is one of the big bugaboos is, if there's a market demand, why isn't the market responding? Mm. And the reason is onerous regulation effectively prohibits pushing that density. And part of that is neighborhood opposition to increased density, despite the comprehensive plan suggesting that it is absolutely the community vetted comprehensive plan. It is absolutely what the community wanted until it's proposed in their backyard.
Is this, you know, I think this, and maybe I see this all the time because I'm looking for it. But again, you know, people who think they're involved, but they're not. You know, we talk about Congress, we talk about the Senate, we talk about the president. But these decisions are usually, Neil is famous for one of the great hashtags on Twitter, is seats available. And he will frequently, when in-person attendance, he'll go to these planning commission and architectural review board meetings and take a selfie of himself and post it to Twitter of an empty auditorium. We're counting on these elected representatives to do these things for us in our absence.
It, absolutely, and you flip it over, and then the you have what could be a, what is a controversial upzoning of a locality and of an area that has gone through 2, 3, 4 years of work and negotiation with staff, working its way through the process, and then all of a sudden this usually empty auditorium fills with neighbors that stand up and say that this isn't what they want, despite the staff making recommendations, positive or negative, dependent upon what it is. But the you might think of this as a great way for the neighborhood to be empowering underrepresented voices, but research shows it's more a forum for empowering typically the most privileged segments of our community, who are often disproportionately opposed to bringing the thing that's getting proposed.
And then setting the scenario by where elected officials can turn us on each other as well. I think, you know, there's a subtext to that that I worry about. But you brought up a point that, that now they've even managed to wheedle COVID-19 concerns into these discussions. So now if you want to build an apartment complex, you've got people saying, COVID-19! Don't build density, COVID-19! So I don't know. I don't know where people are going to live. I mean, there's the guy in Los Angeles building lean-tos. Maybe that's what we need.
Well, and it was brought to my, I mean, in the meeting that we were referencing last Wednesday in Albemarle, it was raised by two speakers. And then Nolan Stout from the Daily Progress reported that the city officials, Charlottesville city officials, have asked Dr. Bonds, who's the head of the Thomas Jefferson Health District, to either write an opinion or be available for questions regarding a proposal that's going before the Planning Commission in Charlottesville tonight. I went ahead and did some research, and the data that I looked at found that density is not closely related to COVID-19. It's much more related to socioeconomic factors and multi-generational cohabitation.
Comorbidities, you know, the age being one of the hardest hit comorbidities.
Right, and you turn it over and you look at the New York City data, which, of course, New York was hit very, very hard. But when you look at the most dense places that are affluent, they aren't hit as hard as less dense that are less affluent. And so the correlation there has much more to do with economic status than it does with how many bedrooms you have in your home.
Neil at, it's Neil S. Williamson at Twitter, and then freeenterpriseforum.org or freeenterpriseforum.wordpress.com. You have a great morning, sir. Thank you for taking some time out with us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Union bashing next, but not the kind you're used to hearing about on Joe Thomas in the Morning.
We talk with you, not at you.
I found it an extremely interesting conversation.
All day, every day on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the Morning, 8:07. Nothing comes easy, nor should it, actually. George in Reiner is on with us, and of course you can call in 540-639-4900 from the New River Valley, or if you're on the gaslit streets of Charlottesville, 434-964-1075. George, you wanted to talk about the affordable housing conversation we were just having. How are you this morning?
Doing good. Back in the early 70s, I worked on a... I was only, 18 then. I guess that was 50 years ago. Worked on a housing project there in your fair city of Charlottesville. And it was I guess you call it subsidized housing, Section 8, whatever. But and it was a large complex, and we had to go back and do some touch-up work in some of the apartments that where people were living in before we actually finished. And the shape that those things were in when they were brand new was atrocious. They were tore up before they were even finished. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is people that get affordable housing like that don't appreciate it, don't take care of it, and I just got a problem with it.
Well, this goes back to something I brought up earlier in the program in this whole devolution to where we are, where we were listening to the city council of a major metropolitan area talking about dissolving the entire police department and suggesting that if something's happening in your neighborhood or in your home, call a social worker or a trusted neighbor. This is not made up stuff, but this goes back to the 60s when Lyndon Johnson said in order to quell riots, let's send government money into these poor neighborhoods, and the same thing happens economically that happens in housing is if there's no feeling of having earned it, you wind up kind of disregarding it.
Well, and that same project that I'm talking about 10 years later was torn down
with federal money, I'm sure, to build a new one.
I'm sure.
There's a civil rights lawyer, conservative civil rights lawyer here in town, a dear friend of mine, who's coined the phrase public housing reservations. And he calls them that because a lot of the same social issues you find in our public housing projects in the cities are the same social issues you find on the Native American reservations throughout the country of depression, substance abuse, abuse of relationships, just societal decline because there is no achievement. As a matter of fact, sometimes achievement itself is dispatched. I remember talking to somebody in one of our Section 8 apartment complexes some time ago. Her son got a part-time job on the weekends at a fast food place, and they got kicked out because they went over the trigger level. So even here's a family who's trying to do the right thing, and we can't even manage it right because it's a government bureaucracy, George. So I appreciate it, and thank you for coming up and trying to help out and being part of the build crew at least. And I appreciate it. Hope all is doing well this morning.
Doing great. You have a good day. Enjoy your coming into the New River Valley with us.
Well, I appreciate it. I love it. It's beautiful down there. And, Charlottesville is a great city. So is Blacksburg, Christiansburg. Everyone was so kind to us the other day there. So thank you, George. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
God bless.